Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Matt Chat. I'm your host, Ace Diamond. And tonight, I'm going to give a partial week in review of everything that's happened in AEW, WWE, NXT. And my thoughts on those killer shows. So let's start with tonight, and we'll work our way backwards. Tonight, AEW Dynamite emanated from Cleveland, Ohio, or as somebody like myself from Cincinnati calls it, The Mistake on the Lake. No offense to my listeners in Cleveland. You're all wonderful people. But tonight we saw one title change hands. Well, one title get unified, actually, as Jon Moxley defeated CM Punk in a very lopsided match to become the undisputed AEW World Heavyweight Champion. And I actually believe that CM Punk came back way too early from his foot injury that he suffered that caused him to have to take the time off that caused Jon Moxley to become the interim AEW World Champion. And I believe Punk is going to either have to take even more time off, or he's ultimately going to have to retire again. And I really hate to see that be the case, but it doesn't look good for his career. As things stand right now, he is 45 years old, and as somebody who's just a couple years younger than Punk, we don't heal nearly as much, nearly as quickly as we used to when we were younger. So I don't expect Punk to be around for 6 months or more now. And then after that, we got the unfortunate news that Thunder Rosa also has to step away from the ring for a while due to injury, and therefore will not be medically cleared to compete at All Out, deeming a fatal four-way interim women's championship match necessary. The four participants being Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and yes, I just did the hand gesture along with the words. Her lackey, for lack of a better phrase, Jamie Hayter, who I hope turns on Britt and has as good a showing as anybody in the match. Toni Storm, who was supposed to be in the championship match to begin with, and former AEW Women's Champion Hikaru Shida. Now, with those four women, absolute classic match. I wouldn't be surprised if it was one of the best matches on the card, honestly. Because those four can absolutely bring it. Jamie Hayter is the most underrated woman in that match, and she's incredible. So I think everybody's going to be surprised. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Jamie Hayter pulls off what most people would consider an upset and wins the interim AEW Women's Championship. Now, I'm sure most people think it'll be Toni Storm, but I wouldn't count Jamie Hayter out by any stretch of the imagination. And we also saw the confrontation between Jericho Appreciation Society members, Chris Jericho, and Daniel Garcia. And it would appear to me that Daniel Garcia is on his way out of the JAS, whether he joins the Blackpool Combat Club or he just strikes out on his own. Who knows, but honestly, I think either of those choices are better than playing second fiddle to Chris Jericho. Because Daniel Garcia is 26 or 27 years old. He has an absolute bright future ahead of him in this business. And I just think, I think Chris Jericho is holding him back. And I want to see Daniel Garcia rise to the top as soon as possible. A couple more matches were made for All Out. You had a trios match between Wardlow, the TNT champion, and the tag team champions pretty much everywhere but AEW, FTR, taking on the team that we thought was going to be Sanjay Dutt, Satnam Singh, and Jay Lethal, but is actually going to be Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns. Now, FTR versus the Motor City Machine Guns is a tag team match that, personally, I've wanted to see for quite a while since FTR left WWE. I have wanted to see them face the Motor City Machine Guns, and I wouldn't be too upset if Lethal and Wardlow got taken out of this match early on and it came down to just FTR and the Motor City Machine Guns because, like I said, that's been a dream match of mine for a few years now. Or a couple of years at least. Now, yesterday, we saw Santos Escobar return to the NXT arena only to pick up the rest of Legado del Fantasma and take them with them, presumably to SmackDown, possibly this Friday night. Where I could see them start an immediate feud with Hit Row and further on down the line, maybe even a feud with the Bloodline. I could see Santos Escobar and Roman Reigns having a decent match. Yes, there's a size discrepancy in Roman Reigns' favor, but Santos Escobar, for a not too big of a guy, is very strong, very quick, and very intelligent. So I could see a Santos Escobar Roman Reigns match or feud surprising a lot of people. And then, of course, also last night we saw the reunion of Index, Indy Hartwell, and Dexter Lumis, who made his return to WWE a couple of weeks ago, playing it off as if he doesn't have a contract, but I think everybody's smart enough to know that that's not the case and that he does, in fact, have a new deal with WWE. And with the fact that Indy Hartwell has been wearing red and white as of late, I wouldn't be too surprised to see her called up to Raw with Dexter Lumis once his quote-unquote legal issues are sorted out. So I'm looking forward to seeing that play out. And of course, jumping backwards to Monday, Dexter Lumis showed up at Raw and kidnapped The Miz, which anybody that can make The Miz disappear is okay in my book. That was a masterful move, as he had a decoy at ringside attempt to grab AJ, and then he was able to make off with The Miz, who was apparently his actual target all along. A lot of people are saying we'll see Index versus Miz and Maryse at the October pay-per-view. I don't know that that's necessarily going to be the case. I don't know that Maryse wants to come in and wrestle even one mixed tag team match. I think probably just wants to make the random appearances and stay as non-violent, non-physical as possible. But I could be wrong. And we very well could see that mixed tag team match. Now, a mixed tag team match that I am almost certain we're going to see also stemmed from Monday night, and that is Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley versus Edge and Beth Phoenix. Now, again, I could be wrong, and we could get two singles matches out of that, but as Beth hasn't been a full-time competitor in, I want to say, 8 years, something like that. Maybe even closer to 10 years. I don't think she is going to want to come back and wrestle a singles match by herself against Rhea Ripley. I'm much more inclined to believe it's going to be a mixed tag team match. So that Edge and either Finn Balor or Damian Priest can take up a majority of the match, and Beth can do just a few little things. That she's not too rusty on, because being away from the ring for that long of a period of time and not wrestling a full-time schedule in that many years can be very hard on the body when you do come back, as we saw with Edge, who I believe 2 matches into his return got injured and had to take even more time off. So Beth will ease into it with a mixed tag team match. But now the thing that really irked me this weekend were the changes to the women's tag team title tournament. And I understand why they occurred. Nikita Lyons is apparently unvaccinated and unable to travel to Canada, although she denied that report. And then, unfortunately, Gigi Dolin suffered a concussion in her match where she replaced Nikita Lyons along with her tag team partner, JC Jane, Toxic Attraction. So they're out, and there will be a Fatal 4-Way second chance match this Friday to determine the fill-in for that spot. So, I don't know who's going to be in it now. It's going to be interesting to see. But I am running out of time, and I just want to say to anybody that's out there listening, thank you very much. Give me feedback on the show on Twitter at AceDiamond1980. And I hope to be back again next week with hopefully a guest lined up, which I'm actually going to work on as soon as I get off of here. And get back to Twitter. So this is Ace Diamond. Have a great night, everybody.